Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
My next guest will be in front of an Oireachtas Committee on Sport this week, presenting on the issue of long-term effects of repetitive head injuries in retired athletes. And with rugby in particular, the question is, have the dangers started to outweigh the benefits, such as the gladiatorial nature of the sport? Dr. Colin Doherty is head of the School of Medicine at Trinity College Dublin and consultant urologist at St. James's Hospital, and he joins me now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for being with us. More and more I'm seeing articles about this. I mean, I mentioned a piece in the Sunday Times at the weekend by David Walsh, who went to New Zealand and spoke to families connected with three players on the same team who had suffered CTE, which is a degenerative brain condition, isn't it, linked to repetitive concussion and head injury?
Yes. I mean, this is pretty, in my mind, it's pretty uncontroversial now, and most people have heard that term. It stands for chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is just a long word to suggest dementia that's associated with a career, long-term career of repetitive head injury. And it's not just athletes. It does affect other groups like ex-military, etc. But obviously, athletes are in the crosshairs here.
Mm-hmm. So what are you saying today in this article that you have written in the Irish Times and in your presentation to the Oireachtas Committee? I mean, are you crossing that line that so many are nervous of crossing and saying, why would we put our children into this sport of rugby when we know what the outcome might be?
Yeah, I mean, I feel that I've been banging this drum for a decade. I've been saying this in less intemperate language. I kind of felt my frustration came through in the article. I was glad they didn't edit it out. Like, I really do feel that we need to make a change here. And like anybody who enjoys the sport, it just needs to be a safer game. And I'm not saying I have all the answers to making it safer. I'm calling for a sport-wide, government-wide response to come together and decide, how do we profile risk? How do we decide how to reduce the dose of blows to the head? And make the game safer. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a question of crossing any Rubicon. Like, that's, to my mind, that happened a decade ago. We knew this was the issue. By the way, this goes back a century. You know, knowing this, we know, for instance, in a famous paper from the 1960s, that 1 in 5 professional boxers will get dementia from boxing. That's been known since the 1960s. So the idea that this is all new and it's all come out of the blue and lots more, work needs to be done before we can make any changes, that's just ridiculous. This has been a long-standing known problem with repetitive head injury, and now we need to take action.
And is it just rugby that you're concerned about?
No. My focus has been on rugby because I've done most of my research in that area. I do think that there is more collision than contact in rugby compared to maybe other sports. There's no question there's a problem for football in relation to heading the ball. As you know, in the US now, underage sports have banned heading in younger age groups. And I think the GAA, in my view, also, because rugby has a bigger profile in this area, it tends to hide behind the idea that, oh, rugby is a completely different sport. But we all know, we've seen it on the GAA pitches, severe injuries. So, look, every sport has to take this seriously. I would say that there needs to be a code that we all sign up to. Like, it's incredible in Scotland that they've all signed up to this if in doubt, sit them out code. And even badminton players have signed up to it. Badminton Association of Scotland. Like, mm-hmm. Every sport should be signing up to making their game safer from the point of view of head injury.
Yeah, and you mentioned the language. And I think, when you put it in stark terms and you see it on the page in the context of head injuries, I think what you're saying really makes sense. You know, when we say that bodies were put on the line, like, what are we saying there? We're saying it is a great thing to see somebody get, melded into the pitch and someone walk out over them and stand up afterwards and keep playing. Is that what we're telling our players?
I agree. I mean, it's an incredible language to be using. I would argue maybe that's the thing that has changed, because the game has become so gladiatorial over the last decade or so. I think the language associated with the heroism and the physicality of the game has just been accepted, you know. And now, yes, look, the rugby authorities and to a certain extent GAA and football, soccer, have taken into account, you know, the concussion problem, right? Somebody gets knocked down, gets up confused, dizzy, they're removed from the pitch. And I think they have done a lot. Now, I would prefer if they all had the same guidance. They all have different guidance, which drives me crazy. There's no reason why each code should have a different set of guidance. But let's say, for argument's sake, they're taking that at least seriously. What we have found with my colleagues in Trinity College in research is that it's the subconcussive blows, the multiple blows that the person is getting in any one game. So, you know, to give you an example, when we look at some of the players we looked at, now these were retired players. They had been given up playing an average of 12 years since they played their last game. And what we found that they had ongoing brain inflammation. And when we asked them, well, how many concussions did you take? They'd say, oh, maybe 6 or 7. That's all they remembered. What we know is that they're taking multiple blows in one individual game. And you don't have to take a direct blow to the head, by the way, to get a concussion. You can get a blow to the stomach and your head goes rocks back and forth. It's the shaking injury, really, that's the main difficulty for the brain's well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing, you know, in the professional game, somewhere between 7 and 12 of these subconcussive blows per game. So that's thousands of blows in a lifetime. Now, that's not happening in the amateur game yet, but all of us who have them, and I always put up a picture of my youngest son who played at high level rugby in a rugby school in South Dublin. These guys are going into the gym and they're building up themselves now at 6:30 in the morning. I mean, the schoolboys, like, we have an image that we show of a 15-year-old who looks like he's, you know, he looks like he's 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a professional player. So it's creeping into the amateur game that the physicality, the stakes are really high. The players don't want to come off the pitch. They're getting multiple small blows per game. And I'm asking the same question you're asking now. Like, what does a parent do? You know what I mean? In the context of a child, and boys and girls, by the way, because increasingly with girls who want to play rugby, who want to play this game, who are attracted by all aspects of the game, including the greatness of the team sports and all the great things that sport does, like, how are we to advise them? And the problem at the moment is that, you know, we have most concussion, 99% of concussions, not what you saw in that South African series with Ireland or in the Munster Ulster game last week.
Uh-huh.
It's not professional sport. It's all happening at pitch number 5, where little Johnny's getting laid out and there's 3 parents around the pitch and everybody goes, what happened to little Johnny? Do you know what I mean? That's what concussion is.
But you, your own situation, you've made the decision to allow your son to continue playing. Well, you get to the point where it's hard to stop them. So it's really, are you saying the system that needs to change rather than parents saying, you're not allowed to play that because I'm worried about your brain?
Well, I'll say two things to that. First of all, he made the decision to give up himself. He continued to play soccer, but he's given up rugby.
Okay.
And they're numerous reasons for that. I wouldn't say that he was particularly scared of the concussion problem. Mm-hmm. You know, young 18-year-olds aren't scared of concussion. But the second thing is, in relation to parents, parent pressure, I really feel I'm trying to talk to parents here, because I've talked to the rugby authorities, I've talked to government. And now the great news is we're going into the Iraq the Sport Committee tomorrow. Matt Campbell, who's my collaborator, and Andy Dunn, an ex-rugby player, are coming in to talk to Iraq the Committee. But parents have the power to change this, because they will change politics and they will change the game at grassroots level. And to give you an example, so in New Zealand, the parents about 7 or 8 years ago got together and said, we don't want the Islanders, who tend to be much taller and bigger and physically more muscle bound than the Caucasian New Zealanders, we don't want them under 12s playing together. So now they've created teams by weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to even out the game. Now, I don't think that's the answer to this problem, but I'm just showing you how powerful the mothers and the fathers were in New Zealand in changing the culture at grassroots level.
Okay.
I think that's what needs to happen.
All right. Thank you very much, Colin. Food for thought, certainly, for parents and for people who support rugby right around the country and other sports, as Colin said. Like, it's not just rugby. I know rugby is always front of mind, but anyone who has stood on the sideline at a GAA match will see all sorts of knocks and bangs as well. That's Dr. Colin Doherty, who's a consultant neurologist.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.